Ready? Okay. So the Gemara says, so as I told you last time, we did this 2 days ago at the end. I said, put aside the issue of the Korban Tamid in the morning. Now we're going to focus on the Korban Tamid in the afternoon. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, right? How do you know, what do you call it? Let me rephrase. What's the order? So you have Tamid, comes before the Pesach, right? Pesach before the Ketores, and Ketores before Neros. Very nice. Congratulations. Okay. So why? How do we know that Pesach, what's the basis for the Pesach coming after the Tamid Shaban Arbayim? So this is where things get confusing. The Gemara is assuming that you know already that the last Korban of the day is the Tamid Shaban Arbayim, which means nothing should take place after that. Whenever you see these types of things in any legal system, you should get very nervous. Like, it's a law, except that's a problem. So then you have two ways to go. Either you're going to say, I didn't understand what the law was to begin with, right? That's one way. Or you're going to have to figure out a way, naturally speaking, how the law wouldn't include these things. You understand? You're stuck. There's only two ways you can go, right? Okay. So the Gemara is, what's the Gemara's reason? Yeuchar, right?
Too many people.
What does it mean? No, that's the Rambam's reason.
No, that's the Rambam.
Dopey. No. What does the Gemara say? What's
the
Yuchar?
The Gemara says it says Bainar Bayim and Barav.
Okay, so it says when the Torah introduces the Tamid Shal Bainar Bayim, it says the Tamid Shal Bainar, I mean obviously it doesn't say it this way, but it says Tamid Shal Bainar Bayim. Period. Okay? When it talks about the Korban Pesach, it says Ben Har Bayim and Barav, right? So now again, there's also two ways you can understand that, right? But I don't want to give anything away. In other words, it sounds like all the Gemara is saying is that since it has it two times versus one, somehow that teaches you what?
That's even more later.
Right. Exactly. It's good to have you back, Beer. Right? Like, it's even more later. Right? You uchar. Like, it's not, there's late, that's Ben Arbayim, and there's Ba'erev, which teaches you that it's even later than late. Okay. We have to understand that. We have to define that. The other thing we have to explain is this Rambam. It's like the Rambam, I mean, this isn't the first time, right, Mo? But the Rambam just ignores the Gemara. Right? The Rambam says, what luck was it?
It was Aleph. It was Aleph, 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 Aleph.
Oh, thank you. No.
Yeah.
Sargali. Right. So the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah to bring two kvasim every day, right? And he says, and then he says, when's the time for Shechita? And then he says the time for the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, which again, we notice the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, when is the obligation to bring the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim come into existence?
Six and a half.
But what do we do normally?
8.5.
Why?
Because that way we can fit all the other korbanos.
Exactly. There's a busy day in the Mikdash. People bring in their voluntary sacrifices. We need time for that, right? So that's an interesting idea. Because what would you have thought, I think, what would you have thought?
Bring it 6.5, get it done with.
Right, exactly. Zrizim Makim LeMitzvos. Okay. No. We could push it off to later, okay? Fine. More except for...
Usually
when you have a fear, you're not right. That's right. Right? So that's interesting by the time it's your mind.
Yeah.
So the Rambam then says, though, he says, because you couldn't bring your nedavos, your voluntary sacrifices, after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. So push it to later on. Except for the Korban Pesach. He says, V'lo shokhtin korban achar Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim chutz mi korban pesach levado. Why? Okay, so you have a problem. The problem is that, okay, let's use a simple time. 12:30 p.m. is the time where you can now bring your Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. Okay, so what do we do normally? We push it off to 2:30 p.m. Okay, now why? So you can bring your, what do you call it, your other voluntary sacrifices. But that's not enough time for the Pesach sacrifice, right? So because it's not enough time, what do we do?
Let the Pesach go after.
No. That's the question I wanted to ask. Shank. Yeah. No, right. We start after, right? Now ask you. Now say, Shank, were you about to, like we just said? That's the question to ask. Meaning what? Meaning.
Why don't we just start before?
No, come on, Shank. You asked it. What?
Shouldn't it be 6.5?
Yeah, exactly. In other words, I just gave you the times this way for a reason. If you're telling me that the obligation to bring the Talmud Shemir Mayim is 12:30 p.m. And normally you push it to 2:30 to give people time to bring the voluntary sacrifices. Okay, so on Erev Pesach, right, push it to 6:30.
No, because...
And then you can fit all your sacrifices in between.
Different qualitative...
Right? Why not that? Why? That seems to be a very reasonable possibility. But the Rambam says, no. In this instance, right, we do it afterwards. We do it afterwards. Because there's not enough time. So there's two questions. A, why does the Rambam set it up that way? Why not just extend the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim to later on? Like Shank said. And B... Well, he doesn't mention this reason. He can't do that. That's a foul. I mean, he can. He does, but whatever. We have to be bothered by that.
Whatever he
Right. But why? How does he ignore the Gemara outright? The Gemara gives us a reason. So what you need to do is you need to explain the reason of the Gemara, and then you have to explain what the Rambam does with the reason of the Gemara, right? He obviously was aware of it, how he ignores it, so to speak, and then answering Shank's question. That's enough. I think everyone's saying good. If you say all Bein Arbaim tells you is that it's not morning time. That's all it can tell you. So not morning time is a long period of time, right? It's a Zman. That Zman is called not morning, right? I'm saying it that way for a reason. That's all Bein Arbaim can teach you. So Ba'erev is coming along and doing... Everyone understand that? So that just tells you that the Korban Tamid, the second Korban Tamid, is not born in the morning.
And also,
right? One second. And that's why, if it's not born in the morning, right, that's why it doesn't need to have a specific time. As long as it has in it being a not morning Korban, right? So that could be from 12:30, all the way until 6 o'clock, right? So Ba'erev is doing what?
It's
can we be a little more clear? What do you mean?
It's more than just not morning. It's that it actually has...
Right. Meaning, in that non-morning time, part of the identity of the Korban Pesach is that it should be at that... Or again, from the perspective of not morning, it should be the later part of not morning. You understand? Later. That's a positive zman. Well, I don't want to say latest, because that's not... We don't want chatzos. We still want it to be...
You don't bring anything after.
I know. So we got to be a little careful about the avoda taking place. But the point is, the Pesach is brought at the later part, right, of the not morning time. Or that's a positive idea of night, so to speak. You understand? That's the idea. That's why the Talmud Shabbat Arbaim doesn't have a fixed time. Right? All it has to be is it has to be being brought not in morning time. So that's what this Zman is called. It's not morning.
Also not night.
Yeah, that's a separate for a separate reason. Okay? Right. Everyone understand that? Sure. In other words, the first step, what does Bein Arbaim teach you? Bein Arbaim all tells you is that this is not morning time. Right? The Korban, the second Tamid, must be brought in not morning time. Right? So what is not morning time? After Chatzos, all the way until Shkia. That's not morning time. Right? I mean, obviously you can go even later than that until through the night, just that there's no avodah done at night. So just for now, just say that's not... What?
Where do we learn that from?
Torah. That's an axiom. That's an axiom.
Can you put it?
What?
No. Put it, I just want
to know. No. So, Shane, you understand that? So then, but then the thing is that but then what is Be'erev teaching you? So you see, Be'erev is a positive idea. Be'erev is telling you there's a property in the Korban Pesach that it must be brought, right? If I say at a positive time, that's in contrast to not morning, meaning it has to have in it the idea of being evening. So that's a specific Zman. That's why I can override. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I can override the Korban Tamid Shel Pesach, the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. It's not overriding it, because the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim doesn't have a fixed time.
I don't know if that's true.
It just has to be brought not morning.
Well, it has a fixed time, not morning.
That's not a fixed time. That's like a spectrum.
It's a fixed spectrum.
One more time. The Rambam says he doesn't have. He doesn't. Let me read him. He says Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim, right? Shochlin Oso Mishayarech Hatzel, etc. And he says, "V'lo hayu shokten oso b'chol yom ela b'shmona shavos mechsa." They didn't slaughter it at 6.5 hours, but 8.5. Okay, right. The lama acharin oso shtei shavos achar tchilas man shchitaso. So why do we push it for 2 hours? Right? Mivnei hakorbanos shayachad shal tzibur, because we want to make time for people to bring their voluntary sacrifices. Now listen to this. Lefi, because she'asur lahakriv korban klal kodem tamid shel shachar, because it's prohibited to do what?
To bring a korban before the tamid shel shachar.
Below shokten korban achar tamid shel bein arbaim chutz mikorban pesach levada. We don't shecht any korban after the later tamid except for the korban pesach. She efshar shakiv kol yisrael peschem b'shei shavos. There's something very strange in what he's saying. If you listen to that,
he said you don't, not that you can't.
No, he says that
ain't shokten as a pesach ela achar tamid shel bein arbaim.
But you could shecht that.
So, I'll read it one more time. See if you can catch it. He says velo hayu shokten oso b'chol yom. Right? They shut it at 8.5 hours in the day.
It's
and then he says, the lama, what?
Of the
Karavat Shahos Mechsa. And then he says, He says, the lama achron is oshte shows achar tchilas zman shchita. So why do we push it off 2 hours, right? After the time, the zman shchita is at 12:30. Why do we push it off to 2:30? Bimnei korbanos yachas shal sibor, to give people time to bring their other korbanos. Lefisha also lahakiv korban klal kodun tamash shachar. Because he says, it's prohibited to go ahead and bring a korban prior to the morning tamid. Below shokten korban achar tamid shel bein arbaim, and we don't shecht the korban after the tamid shel bein arbaim. Chutz bi korban pesach levado, except for the korban pesach. There's something he's saying there.
couldn't we shuff the Korban Pesach after?
You got two options. Either you could say he just ignored the Gemara, and then just it's just a practical basis for it. You could say that. You have the right to say that. Or you could say no. He's very aware of the Gemara, right? And it's true he gives a practical reason in the Mishnah Torah, right? But what you think is practical, there's actually some conceptual idea in there. Something about the Korban Pesach that's beyond just practicality. What? One second. That can somehow work within the Gemara. Okay?
False dichotomy over here.
I was picking the Talmud Ben Arbayim and the way he quotes it there for a reason, okay? Because there's two ways you can understand. There's two steps to this. Step one is, there's two ways you can understand the Talmud Ben Arbayim. Okay, you could understand it as what we were saying before, they're bookends, right? So meaning I have a sequence. The sequence starts with the Korban Talmud Shel Shachar and ends at the Korban Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim. So what is that? What if it's bookends? So what's the afternoon Korban Talmud telling you? The sequence has come to an end, right? Meaning it's the end of the sequence, right? So every day, what happens by the Talmud Shel Shachar? New sequence starts. That's one way to look at it. But there's another way to look at it. I mean, if I took the Rambam at his word, that's not what he's saying.
No.
That what is the what's the function of the Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim?
The last one in the order.
Okay, that's not definitive enough. Make it more definitive.
It tells you that you're
meaning it's interrupting the sequence. Whereas what was what?
Putting a pause in it just so that we could bring the Korban Shel.
Oh yeah. Right. Quite good. I was only going to say the Pesach. Quite good. Yes. In other words, it's not stopping the sequence. Rather, it's an interruption. Right. The Korban Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim. What's its function? Its function is to tell you that this is the last Korban prior to the Talmud of the morning.
Couldn't you say even further?
What Ross is saying is that but the Korban Pesach, right? So how does that help with the Korban Pesach? So the Korban Pesach, as we know,
outside the order,
the sequence is what? Talmud to Talmud. Yeah. Right. That's the sequence. But the Korban Pesach is a whole new type of Korban. It's an artificial Korban. Meaning, this is the hard part. It's an abstract point, but I think it works. The Korban Pesach doesn't fit into the sequence of Tamid to Tamid.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not part of the Tamid to Tamid phenomenon.
So you're not saying
right?
It's outside of the Seder Korbanos. You're saying it's outside of the Tamid to Tamid? Is there a difference?
That's the Seder Korbanos.
So
that's my point.
I thought you were agreeing with us.
No, I'm agreeing with you. In other words, it's inserted. So notice this. In other words, if it's not part of the sequence of Talmud to Talmud, then it can never actually be before the what? The Talmud Shel Shachar.
Because it's not in the same
right.
Hierarchy almost.
It's not in that sequence. In other words, it's like this. It's true that from a chronological standpoint, it may be coming before the Talmud Shel Shachar, but from a sequence standpoint, it's not. Why is it not?
Because
it's not part of the sequence. It's superimposed, so to speak. You understand? So it's true at 11 p.m. Just bear with me. At 11 p.m., I'm bringing my Korban Pesach, and it's true that time-wise, that's before the Talmud Shel Shachar. But insofar as the relationship to the sequence is concerned, if this Korban is not part of the sequence,
then why
right?
Can the sequence
well, no, one second. No. And that's why it's not a problem with the Gemara.
I don't think it's actually outside of the sequence, though, because it has to be brought after the Bein Arbayim.
Erev, he's saying it's not just enough to say there's a positive quality in the Korban Pesach, the Be'erev. The Rambam's going further. What's he saying? Be'erev shows you that what?
Is it in the day, not in the Seder?
It's almost saying, like, Bein Arbayim is here. The Korban Pesach, by being Be'erev, it, like, in a sense, it abstracts out of Bein Arbayim. It has its own, so to speak, temporal reality, for lack of a better term.
It
never could be included in the sequence. Yeah. It's not just that. Of course, you don't need to be like an urban, an urban developer to know that there's no way you're going to be able to have the population. What he's saying is that because of that practical idea, there was never a moment in time that this could be part of the sequence of Talmud Talmud.
The Gemara is that it's not part of the sequence. He's
exactly. Exactly. Okay, now let's understand. Now, okay, so going to our normal daily order, okay? So we have our Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim. And then, now I'm going to say this carefully. There's the Neros, remember, not the lighting, obviously, the Hatava, the maintenance of the Neros, and the Ketores, okay? There was evening incense burning as well, okay? Is that clear? So the Gemara says, one second. So now, you got to pay attention to this. So if you're telling me we have the Korban Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim, and then we have the Korban Pesach, right? There should be, it's Ba'erev. So then what should happen? The Neros and the Ketores should come afterwards. Right? So the Gemara says, Iachi, Ketores and Neros, nami niknim lepesach. But no, what you should say instead is that the Pesach should be last, right? Again, let's use times. Pesach's 11 p.m., right? Neros 10 p.m. Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim 9 p.m. But that's not true.
Because it says Ben Arbayim by them, and it doesn't say
Ketores and the Neros, nami niknim lepesach.
Wait,
right? They should be before the Korban Pesach.
What?
Why would it be before?
Because
it's the Erev?
Because they have, because Pesach, Korban Pesach has an Yuchar, right? Has the Erev idea.
It doesn't have Erev by Neiros.
So the Gemara says, Yuchar Dabar, Shneamar Bo Erev, right? And Ben Arbayim. Keep going. Right. So this is a little bit of a complex. It's a little bit complex now because we're playing with different variables. So again, we had a variable by the Korban Pesach. Why do we bring it later? Because to make it simple, right? Error, meaning it's got two against one. Okay. So if that's true, the same thing should apply to the Ketores and the Neiros. And just one second, just to make it easier, just think of the Neiros. Forget the Ketores for now. Okay. Just think of the Neiros. So the Neiros also should be brought before the Korban Pesach because it doesn't have that double language.
Yeah,
so now, like, one second. Hold on. What do you mean? What's wrong?
There are two psukim.
Okay. Because the psukim says, it says, Yaruch oso Aharon uvonav me'erev abokar of the Hashem chukas lom dorasam eis b'nei Israel. Yaruch oso. What's Yaruch mean?
It lengthens.
No, that's with an aleph.
Prepare it.
Aleph, prepare it.
Good. Oso. The candles, okay? When? From evening to morning, okay? Now, here it comes. Disanya. We learn from the Brisa.
Disanya.
Disanya?
Sorry,
Ditanya.
Yeah.
It says from evening until morning, right? 10 la midasa, right?
Amount.
Yeah, you have to put in enough oil in it. Shetehei. Okay, we don't have to define that point. Just keep that in mind, okay? I mean, we put in. What does Merav Boker teach you? Put enough oil in to last the whole night. That's obvious. Okay, Davar Acher, this is the one for us.
So Davar Acher in the Chavodah Shekshira Merav Boker Ella Zobilvah.
Wow. So it turns out there's only one avoda that is permitted to do, right? Evening time, night time, right? And that's this. My timer. Why?
Amar Kra, Yaruch Oto Aron Avanav, Merev Ad Boker.
Okay, so Oto teaches you.
So Oto Merev Ad Boker.
So this from Erev Ad Boker, right? But not anything else Erev Ad Boker. Okay?
Yeah.
What?
Including Pesach.
No. Okay, one second.
Pesach is an Erev.
Apple saying, one second. We have a double limud here. We have Erev and Ben Arbayim.
Ben Arbayim only by the Ketores.
Okay, that's no, true. Let's give him some leeway. Let's give him some leeway. All right, let's assume it. So why not use that limud? Okay, why not use a limit of 2 versus 1?
Because it doesn't tell you before after the Pesach.
So one road you can go down is you can say there's a difference between that which is the end of the day versus that which is prepping for the nighttime, right?
Okay.
So if, and Me'erev Boker is teaching you this is nighttime idea. So therefore, chronologically speaking, how could you, once I'm prepping for the night, it would make no sense to say that I could therefore go back and do things that are the end of the day. That doesn't make any sense. I hear that. You could say that.
Erev, not Lila.
I know, but that's what it means. That's what it means.
So, why does
so I was thinking a little about, but however, you could say that. I was thinking like this. I accept that possibility, okay? I was thinking like this. It is interesting that the Rambam says, mitzvah, no, there's no fact. You had this Rambam. He says, mitzvah sase lahakir shnei chvasim olos b'chol yom. Right? So what's the positive commandment of the Tamidim? The Rambam is very shrewd. All we know is one thing. All we know is that there's a mitzvah to bring the Tamidim twice a day, right? But there's nothing intrinsic in them. There's nothing functional about the Talmud to tell us that one should come in the morning, one should come in the evening. That's a Kiddush, right? The Torah comes along and tells you, place them here and here. But there's nothing in the Korbanos that tells me that's when they should be brought, that the Torah has to tell you that, right? It's good thing Fader's not here, because this is the thing he pounds on. What you could say, though, is that, but there is a reason why. I want to argue there's a functional value, so to speak, in the Zman of the menorah. It's not just that it's prep for the evening, but it's, I want to say it's particular to the menorah itself. Why? Because what? Because that's when it's going to function. When is the maximum functionality of a menorah?
At night.
At nighttime.
Oh, that's so silly.
That's why. No, that's.
No one's seeing it. No, but there's no function. No, it's going in the hay.
Irrelevant. I'm saying that's what light does. It illuminates. I'll give you an example. The Gemara says, now this is great. Now, however, but once I had Neiros, then the Gemara, it's almost as if the Gemara pretends, like, it hopes you don't read this part. The Iskish Ketores and Neiros. But since we're already talking about Neiros, so what can we attach to it? The Ketores.
In the same puzzle.
What I mean is that, yeah, the Neiros, of course the Neiros have to come afterwards, because let's say they're prep for the evening. Right, I understand it's in the same pasuk, but there's nothing in the Ketores itself that lends itself to.
I think there's an idea about.
Okay, in the menorah itself, if we're going to tell me the menorah is prep for nighttime, right? That's already showing us something very interesting, which is that I would have thought that Talmud Shemar Arbayim, being at the end of the day, also does what brings avodah to a close, right? But yet, the fact that I'm doing the menorah as prep for the night shows me what?
There's still stuff going on.
There's stuff going on, right? There's avodah going on. That's an avodah, right? So then what do we do with that?
Night isn't just this gap.
Oh no, it is. It's just not merely the absolute.
In other words, think about it. In other words, like this. In other words, it's a cute way to work around the problem. I don't want to go as far. So you're trying. You could say what you're saying. I'm just afraid to put it in that category yet. What you could say is like this. In other words, if the korban tamid signified the end of avoda, right? So then the ketoros had to come before. But so would the menorah, right? So that's not what the korban tamid is doing. The korban tamid shomer b'ayim is signifying the end of what?
The
Seder korbanos, right? Now, there's nothing in the Ketoros that tells me what?
About the Korbanos?
There's nothing in it that tells me where it belongs, right? There's nothing in it that tells you where it belongs. So what's the Hekesh then? How does the Hekesh work then?
To tell you what it's in a Seder with?
Well, yeah, it could exist so anywhere.
There's nothing in the Ketoros that tells me where it exists. It exists anywhere, right? So now, since it is in the Pasuk with the menorah,
that means
right?
That it exists here, but it could have existed elsewhere. The Torah chose...
And Achinami, right? That's how I want to learn the Hekesh.
Sure.
I'm afraid to go as far as you. You could say that. I think when I was preparing you guys, I went that far. But I'm afraid to go that far. I'd rather just say that all the Hekesh can tell you is that once we know that the Korban Tamid's not telling me Avodah's over. How do I know that? Because the menorah takes place afterwards. So all it can tell me is the sequence of Korbanos is over. So there's nothing in the Ketoros to tell me where it should go, right? So there's nothing wrong with it being after the Avodah, after the Korbanos. So what do? We use the Hekesh. We use the placement and the real estate location of the Ketoros to tell me it's done with the Neros. Also, notice the way I'm saying it, by the way. I didn't say it's done before the Neros. I'm saying it's done with the Neros, right? Now, what you're saying is, that's why I'm saying the type of Avodah, meaning once I know Avodah can take place at night, so this could be there. It's not part of the sequence of Korbanos.
It's not really at night.
What? You know what I mean, yeah. Right?
After the Bein Harbaim.
Exactly, after Bein Harbaim. Now, this is tricky, okay? Because this is a different Brisa. There's a different explanation. The Sanya?
Yeah, I'm looking for it right now.
Kikushin?
Yeah, Kikushin.
Oh, Vitanya, Kikushin, Tamid Kodem Liktorat, Torat Kodemet Linerot, Venerot Kodemet Lepesach. Yahor Davar Shanamar, Bo Be'er Bo Bein Arabayim, Ledavar Shalonamar, Bo Ella Bein Arabayim.
Okay, so that, Bilvat, right, so sets out the same thing. So what's the order? Tamid, right, then Ketores, then Neros, okay? And Neros would be before Pesach. Interesting. Now, Yuchar Davar, right? Well, now, again, that's by the Pesach, we have Erev and Bein Arbayim. So that makes sense. The Haksiv. Doesn't say Oso, right? So what's that coming to tell you? That the Halakas Neros are done by Erev, right? And there should be no Avodah done afterwards. So how could it be that I bring the Pesach after the Neros? So Gemara says, Hi, Limu'ute Avodah Shemifnim, right? Umayniu Ktoris. So what does that mean? Hi, Oso mi bailele mi'uti avoda shebifnim.
Coming to exclude avoda.
You don't do avoda shebifnim after.
Right. Wait, what is bifnim?
Oso is teaching you, right? It's teaching you avoda done in the heichal. Noam, this is what you were saying. It's teaching you the avoda done in the heichal. Okay? So that what? That Oso is teaching you that what has to come last, so to speak?
The Heichal stuff.
Right. Avoda Bifnim. Okay? And then, what do you call it? Umayni
who? Wait, I'm telling you Heichal stuff comes last. It's saying within the Heichal, the Neros come last.
Because the Pesach... Was the Pesach in the Heichal? No, it wasn't in the Heichal.
No, it was
the Pesach. Pesach has come after the Neros.
So you can't
say... Yeah. Right. Correct. Yeah. Notice, right, sorry. Within the Avoda and the Heichal, right, so what comes last? Neros comes last. But what does that have to do with Pesach? Pesach could still do what?
It
come after Neros, right? Because it's not, all we can tell from Oso is that when I'm doing inner temple activity, right, this must be last. Right. And then what's the last line there? Umay nihu, right?
Umay nihu ktorot.
Now which avoda should I not do after my neros, right? Ktoros, okay? But that's all talking about bifnim. Nothing to do with bachutz. So my Korban Pesach, of course I can bring it afterwards. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. Okay. What do we do with this?
What's the bifnim?
Bachutz.
in the Gemara's limud of Oso, it sounds like it's creating an arbitrary differentiation or designation. Yeah, differentiation. It's saying that, well, we treat avodah bifnim differently than avodah b'chutz.
Yeah, that's not arbitrary.
Well, you're right. It happens to be that there are two separate locations of avoda,
yeah.
But all along we've been talking about a sequence, right?
Yeah.
The fact that one takes place here and one takes place here has been irrelevant. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the Gemara is sliding this point and is saying this is a relevant point.
Well, it's been irrelevant